I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. It's been 150 years since the muskets fired and men in both blue and gray fell to the ground at a battlefield in Pennsylvania. Gettysburg's dubious distinction was to have the most casualties of any battle of the Civil War. Today we'll look back at the politics and power plays that surrounded the famous battle. But first this hour, we'll check out what happens now that Congress didn't pass the new version of the Farm Bill, a piece of legislation that affects the pocketbooks of both consumers and farmers. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. 1 week from today marks the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, the turning point of the Civil War, when the North finally gained the upper hand on the upstart rebels. We'll talk about that pivotal battle today. But first, a modern-day fight that stands to affect millions of Americans, the federal farm bill, which helps fund food and farmer subsidies, failed to pass Congress last week. Joining us now to talk about this is Harvest Public Media's Peggy Lowe. Peggy, nice to have you.
Good morning, Steve.
Jeremy Bernfeld from Harvest is also here. Jeremy, good morning to you.
Hi, Steve.
Well, Peggy, you just spoke with Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. In fact, you got off the phone with him about 2 minutes ago. What did he say about the House's failure to pass a farm bill just last week?
Vilsack is very angry, and he's obviously on the talking points for the Obama administration now. We were just one in a series of calls that he made to reporters, because obviously we're working on this story this week. He said people just fail to understand how large this legislation is and how it affects way beyond what the big sticking point was, which was food stamps. He said organic farmers get a boost out of this, ethanol producers, you know, obviously the commodity programs, land-grant universities are funded through the farm bill. And so he said because people don't know about this, he thinks that's part of the problem in not getting it passed.
So, Jeremy, what happened? Why didn't the House pass the farm bill?
Well, as Peggy said, you know, the big sticking point was definitely food stamps. The bill is it's massive. It's $500 billion, about $100 billion a year over 5 years. So there's a lot going on in there. But the 80%, the largest portion, is dedicated to food stamps, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
House conservatives didn't want to spend so much money on SNAP, as it's called. Liberal Democrats like Emanuel Cleaver here in Kansas City were saying, oh, yeah, you've got to spend that money.
Yeah. In fact, Democrats largely agreed to about $2 billion in cuts annually. But that wasn't enough for some House conservatives. So some Democrats defected because they thought the cuts were too deep. Some conservatives didn't vote for the bill because they thought there wasn't enough.
Now that the House has put the brakes on, Peggy, what's next? What happens now?
Well, I asked Vilsack that, and he is not happy with an extension. He said that would be a reward for failure because some people said, well, they'll just extend it again and maybe work on the bill next
year.
That's
extending the current program, not with any modifications in it.
Exactly, yeah. Because that's what we're working under right now, because the farm bill's first failure was a year ago. So he doesn't want that extension, and he wants the two sides to conference. He wants the Senate version and the House version to go into conference and maybe, you know, work out the differences there. But he's clearly angry at those conservative House Republicans who made SNAP so smelly for even the liberal Democrats to vote for. Mm-hmm. I asked him, too. Paul Ryan was on Morning Joe this morning, and Paul Ryan and some of the conservatives would like SNAP and the nutrition programs separated from the farm programs. I said, would you be okay with that? Absolutely not, he said. You know, we've always historically needed both the urban and the rural votes to get this big bill passed.
Jeremy, what are some other sticking points here, like dairy policy? There's a shift to crop insurance, which I don't think is too controversial, but outline some of the other major elements of this new farm bill for us.
Well, I think you said it. I mean, other than the food stamp cuts, this bill, both in the House and the Senate, would really fundamentally change the way that farm subsidies are administered. It would really make crop insurance, a subsidized federal insurance program for farmers, the main farm safety net. And as you said, most legislators are on board with that. But then there is dairy policy. There's not really a federal safety net for dairy producers right now. And as we saw last year with the drought, a lot of dairy producers went out of business because feed costs were too high, milk costs didn't rise with it, and they had to go out of business. So it would certainly change dairy policy. And there's a big fight going on over dairy policy right now. And then, as I said, it would certainly make crop insurance the biggest farm safety net.
You know, Peggy Lowe, you can't help but sort of sit back for a moment and wonder what in the world happened here, because lawmakers in Washington have been working on this bill for more than 2 years. My colleague at The Star, Dave Helling, wrote a story that appeared Saturday morning. And in that story, he talked about the breakdown of the farm bill might be one more piece of evidence in the breakdown of Washington, D.C. Are you seeing it that way, too?
Well, I'm seeing that, and I think a lot of people are seeing it. And I think that they're seeing it as a litmus test for Boehner's future in Washington. You know, he's failed on the farm bill now twice, among other failures. They say this does not bode well for immigration reform. You know, that's a problem, too. I asked Vilsack about that, and he just didn't even want to talk about it. He said, you know, I am so sick of this being about Boehner. This is about farm programs in rural America, and we've got to get back to work on it.
Did he express any optimism at all, or is he just sort of sunk in the weeds with lots of other farmers out there today?
I think he is sunk in the weeds, and he's saying the same thing as he said last time, which is, you know, rural America is angry, and it's becoming politically less and less relevant, and we've got to get this back on the forefront. And he's trying to educate people about what the farm bill is and how much rural America really does contribute to the overall look of America. But I think he's having a real uphill battle on that one.
Talk a little more, Peggy, about what Representative Paul Ryan said this morning on Morning Joe, this notion that farm programs and the SNAP programs or food stamps should be separated out from the main farm bill. What would the point of that be? Just that those issues are the contentious ones and we'll deal with those later and we'll change the rest of the bill in the meantime?
And some people think ideologically there's not a lot that are similar. You know, there's the nutrition programs over here and then there's the farm bill programs over here. And obviously this is all about food, but it's way too general. And this bill is way too big and it's way too complicated and it only comes across every 5 years. And so perhaps programs should be more nimble and the funding should be more nimble. That's some of the philosophic stuff. However, Paul Ryan and the people that support him are angry that there's just that much spent on SNAP and on food programs. So they see this as a way of cutting that. What he told the Morning Joe guys was something like, you know, I don't like the status quo. I'm against it. That's why I'm going to fight this.
You know, Jeremy, you know, so much of this farm bill seems kind of abstract, kind of a fight in far off Washington, D.C. But farm bill policy, farm bill politics truly wind up affecting you and, you know, me and the money we spend at the grocery store, right?
That's exactly it. I mean, there's no doubt that the farm bill policy will eventually affect food prices. Now, it's such a long tail. The American food system, to get from point A, say, in the field to point B on the dining room table, it takes a really long time. The food changes hands in so many different ways that it's hard to draw a direct line, say, that this policy will make milk prices rise, for instance. But it certainly will have an effect. I mean, this bill is fundamentally about food stamp benefits and the farm safety net. And as we've learned, you know, out here in the Midwest better than anyone, you never know what's going to happen with the weather. And farmers have no idea, you know, what the upcoming harvest is ever going to look like. And so many things can go wrong, which is why the farm safety net is so important to them. So and that's going to affect food stamp prices.
There's uncertainty, Peggy, with the farm bill and what's going to happen there and the weather. There's uncertainty now with farm bill policy and what might come out down the road. Lawmakers in Washington all the time are complaining about a lack of certainty. This is just more uncertainty going forward for farmers, right?
Absolutely. It seems like the only certain thing right now for farmers is all the uncertainty, you know? and everybody, like our national editors keep, you know, calling us and saying, hey, aren't people angry out there? Aren't the farmers angry? We call the farmers and they're sort of like, yeah, business as usual.
You really?
Know, Congress is failing. They roll their eyes. There's not anger. There's just sort of...
They're so past the point of no return with kind of people in Washington and not being able to necessarily understand what goes on in the field that they just say, shrug their shoulders and say, just another day.
So, and what's interesting, too, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Steve, but Vilsack said there needs to be a shock to the system and we need to have consequences for this failure. And I really pressed him on that. Okay, what are the consequences? What are you going to do? Well, it's not for me to met out, you know, the consequences of this failure. But so he's sort of like raising the banner, but not going anywhere with it, you know. So it's very interesting to me that it's a bit passive aggressive.
Well, the Obama administration sort of known for not playing hardball politics. Maybe this is a case some might argue where when they have to weigh in here and get a little serious. Well, I want to thank Jeremy Bernfeld and the multimedia editor for Harvest Public Media, and Peggy Lowe, a reporter and analyst for Harvest. Thank you both for coming in today.
You bet, Steve.
My pleasure.
Yeah.